Episode 14, The Hunt. There was something that stayed with me while I was in New York, something that really struck a chord. I exercised each morning in the apartment to an app on my phone. During the session, the app took me to a well-known celebrity exercising hard. He said, "Be who you are, not who you want to be or who you think you need to be." I looked at that in life. It made me think. Do we really know ourselves, and more to the point, do we know what's best for us? Relationship-wise, I've always had an interest in the way arranged marriages work. I'm not talking about forced marriages, but arranged marriages seem to work when the couple are happy for their parents to find them their future spouse. They trust that their parents know them well enough to find them the right partner. Trust that they saw something in their child that their child didn't see in themselves. Do others see traits in us that we don't see or don't want to see in ourselves? Do we actually know what's best for us? When we have the choice, do we sway to what we want more than what we need or know what's right or good for us? Will I do that when looking for my next partner? Be who you are, not who you want to be or who you think you need to be. My main objective now was to find a life partner. I can't tell you how weird it is. So alien. I started going out on a Friday night. I'd get dressed up and go and sit in a busy pub on my own. I'd just be sat there for about 4 hours drinking non-alcoholic beer and writing ideas on my phone for my podcast. I was in the shop window, so to speak, waiting to see if somebody would walk past and pay any interest in me. No joy. After about a month through boredom, I made the decision to sign up to a respectable dating agency. Mentally, this was a letter of intent. I'd now stepped up to the plate. This was a big tick in my head. I'd actually made the move. I wasn't playing at it anymore. I was actively seeking to find a life partner. Julie was always in my mind during the whole process. She wasn't there because I felt guilt regarding moving forward into a new relationship. What was I supposed to do? I was 53 years of age. Am I going to wait another 4 or 5 years until it's deemed acceptable to other people? Do I have to wait that long until these people actually turn around and advise me to look for a new companion, a new partner? Is it then acceptable in everybody else's eyes because I've grieved for long enough? Grieving is not a sentence, it's not a punishment, but it can be easily classed as either if you allow it to be. After 4 or 5 years, I'd be 57, 58. Would I want to be with somebody else then? Would I be too stuck in my ways as a widower? Would I have gotten too used to being on my own after wasting the best years while grieving? No, I was doing the right thing. I had too much to give. But that still didn't stop it being as weird as hell, and I didn't find the process of being on a dating website particularly nice either. Even on a very respectable website, it's a cutthroat business. The egos flying around are sickening. Look at me, everyone! A lot of these girls just loved the attention, loved the power. And then there was the other side of it. The girls who didn't get a look in. The ones who were left on the shelf or who were targeted by predators. I thought to myself that I'd be better off if I couldn't see their profile picture, judge them off their personalities alone. But that's just not possible. You have to give an indication of what you're looking for. The age group I went for was 38 to 48. I was 53, but people had always said that I looked a lot younger. I was also very active for my age. I needed someone to keep up with me. I want to go hiking, climbing, trips to all different kinds of destinations and generally live life, and I wanted to share that experience. I'd had a life of not doing things that I wanted us to do together, as Julie was either not able to do them or didn't want to. Like the man in Sky said, an experience is always better shared. The lady on the plane was in her early 40s and we got on so well, the age gap didn't seem to matter. We were very well suited in my eyes. My sister-in-law suggested that I should give older women a chance. They've got a lot to offer, she said. Be who you are, not who you want to be or who you think you need to be. Was she right? I needed to keep an open mind. I was just concerned that an older woman would hinder my progress by not participating in my adventures and maybe be a little too stuck in her ways, very mumsy or even in full grandma mode. That really wasn't for me. One lady I spoke to on the dating website, who was around my age, suggested that I could go off on my adventures while my partner stayed at home. This was so against my thinking. How could we share the experience? How could we reminisce about our adventures together? Another lady who contacted me after reading my profile ended up saying that she didn't believe me, that I was a fake because my profile stated that I was fully house trained and I would put my future partner first. Then there were the ones who would talk to you, then the second they found out that you were a widower, they'd cut you dead, treat you as if you were totally heartless. Nobody could understand that I was moving forward within a year of losing my loved one. They'd either say nothing and bin me, or they'd tell me it was too soon for me to move forward. As if they knew what was best for me. As if they'd been in my position. They hadn't even met me or knew me. Maybe they were scared of getting involved. Maybe they thought that it'd just end up in tears. I don't know. But what I do know is that I was so much further on in my recovery than I was when I went for the meal with the lady from the apartments. Though it had only been a few months since then, I'd done, seen and thought so many things. I was so much more advanced in my thinking. I was as ready as I was ever going to be, but I needed to get the right partner first time. This was my one and only chance in my eyes. I'd be so disappointed if I got it wrong. Ending up having a number of relationships before finding the right one. But all the while, I had a big feeling that I'd find my life partner first time. I knew either my guardian angel or Julie would guide me to the lady I was meant to spend the rest of my life with, who'd tick the most important boxes, who'd be my soulmate, who I'd look at and want to care for, someone I'd end up loving. I think I'm quite easy to get on with and fully house trained. Basically, I feel I could live with most people. Luckily, I was in no hurry. I felt calm about the situation and was just happy that I was actively looking. I'd put at the end of my profile, if my partner's happy, then I'm happy. I needed someone who would appreciate their new life, seeing new places, having someone who cared for them. I wanted to make a difference to my new partner's life. I wanted to light up their life. To totally change their life. To be truthful, although I'd contacted a few ladies and some had contacted me, nobody really floated my boat. I didn't get that warmth inside. Most people feel a spark, I feel a warmth inside. After a while, I realised that I was using a dating website more like Facebook. Just seeing who was on, who had contacted me, what they were saying. Killing time, really. I felt disingenuous. I felt being on the website was leading them along. I was kidding myself. I was kidding them. I got to a stage where I felt I just wasn't being genuine. The girls you message who reply and start a conversation and then just suddenly cut you off in mid-sentence and then reply a week later just to massage their ego, they disgusted me. They're the type of people I'd run a mile from. If my daughter was that kind of person, I'd be ashamed. They think that they're eye candy, they're not. They're rotten apples. I feel so sorry for people who are looking for love and get treated in an appalling way on these websites. People whose confidence has been badly knocked by a past relationship and then have to go through this abuse just to try and find love. It's just rubbing salt in the wounds. There's been something that I've been thinking about for a while. Something that I felt I needed to do, but it would go against my principles. I wanted to thank God for taking Julie out of that misery, and I also wanted to show both God and Julie that they were always with me, while showing them both respect. I had a rosary beads tattoo done. The beads wrapped round my wrist, with a crucifix on the side of my hand just above my little finger. On the inside of the wrist are the words, Julie, God wanted you back. I wanted the crucifix to always be on show. so there was no hiding away from the fact that God was part of my life. Before Julie became ill, I had converted my garage into a kitchen and was going to start a catering business selling homemade food. My son was going to work with me, and I told him under no circumstances can you have a tattoo on your hand, not when you're delivering or serving food. It just didn't look good in my eyes. I now had to backtrack and tell my son I was having a tattoo on my hand. It might not sound a big deal to some people, but it was a big deal to me. I'm not keen on tattoos on hands, but this was important. This was a statement that I felt I needed to make to show my gratitude and respect. Just after I'd had my tattoo and just under 11 months after Julia died, I received a message on the dating website from a girl called Debbie. She was 61, but looked so much younger. To be truthful, she wasn't the type I'd normally go for, though she was still very attractive. I replied out of courtesy, as I did with anybody who messaged me. I then quickly realised that there was something about her. Something that none of the other girls on the website had shown. Something that outweighed any other feature I was looking for. She was extremely happy in her own skin. You could feel her joy and happiness. It was as if her messages were lit up. I then found out that she was Jewish. I felt that had a real significance. As a self-employed joiner, most of my customers were Jewish. I'd worked with them for over 10 years. I'd worked at the synagogues. I'd become good friends with them. I knew their families and they knew me. When I walked out the crematorium at Julie's funeral, 6 of my Jewish customers were stood there to pay their respects. And now, after scrolling through hundreds of different girls, a Jewish girl that I hadn't seen on that website had contacted me. Possibly the only Jewish girl on that website. When you work within the Jewish community, you find it's the women who are the life and soul of the party. They generally rule the roost. The young ones have old values and the old ones have young values. In other words, tradition, energy and life runs through Jewish females, no matter how old they are. You can't buy that spark that they have. You couldn't learn it either. It's just natural. They're born with it. It's a gift from God. We communicated with each other for a couple of weeks. Something that really sealed the deal was the way Debbie understood my feelings and respect towards Julie. I'd mentioned that I would always have a memorial in the house, I would always wear my wedding ring, and Julie would always be part of my life. Debbie totally understood and pronounced in a very matter-of-fact way, well, she's the mother of your children. The Jewish are extremely family-orientated, especially Jewish mothers. She understood my feelings. I needed somebody who I could always talk to about times I'd had and experience and events I'd been to with her. I didn't want to shy away from talking about Julie because my partner was jealous. That just wasn't going to happen. I knew I'd have to make compromises. I'd already thought of some of them. When the time was right, I'd change the screensaver on my phone, which was a photo of Julie. I'd take down the canvas print of Julie and I at the bottom of the stairs. I'd swap my wedding ring over to my right hand. And I thought I'd let my new partner choose how the bedrooms would be redecorated so she felt comfortable after leaving her mark on my house. I needed to do these things, but I needed to do them in my own time. When I felt ready. Respect had to be shown to both Julie and my new partner. But I needed not to be rushed into these changes. I needed time. They might sound small, but to someone in my shoes, they're very significant. And if they're rushed or hurried, it could have massive mental consequences. I'd come this far and I needed to stay in control. Things were going well between myself and Debbie, so we arranged a date. On the journey to meet her, I still felt a touch unsure. Something was holding back my enthusiasm. Even though I'd been looking for a new partner, it was still a big step forward for me. I kept thinking about her age. Was this a mistake? I kept thinking that she was 19 years older than the lady on the plane, 8 years older than myself, and her eldest son was 12 years older than my eldest. When I arrived at the apartments, Debbie giddily popped her head around the communal door, then walked over to the car. She was dressed in all black. Very high heels and full makeup. She'd made a real effort. She got into the car and was full of the joys of spring. I was trying to replicate her joy, but was struggling. I found myself not being natural, not being myself. Something didn't seem quite right. I'd been actively seeking to move forward, and now I wasn't sure if this is what I wanted. I was trying to be myself, but I found it hard at first. I suppose I was still finding out who I was. When I looked back at the first moment I saw Debbie in the car park, I had mixed feelings. I think I was just a bit too used to what I was used to, a bit too set in my ways. I was used to Julie. She was very natural looking. She looked good in simple clothes, looked stunning in bright dresses. She wore a lot of flowery light tops and jeans and wore very little makeup. She could be ready to go in about 20 minutes. She was just a practical, naturally good-looking girl. Debbie was the opposite. She was more of a high-maintenance princess. She'd probably been getting ready for at least a couple of hours, and she was dressed in all black. They were chalk and cheese, to be truthful. We drove to a nearby Chinese restaurant. As I walked up to the restaurant, I decided to hold Debbie's hand. I didn't want her going into the restaurant and for other people to think of her in a certain way, as if she was alone or going out on a date. It might sound a bit old-fashioned. I don't see it as old-fashioned. I see it as being respectful to a lady. In the restaurant, I still felt uneasy, though we had loads to talk about. After eating, we decided to drive into Manchester for some drinks. Debbie had been bubbly from the start, excited even. Her energy slowly sparked mine. I started to become more and more relaxed as the night went on and started to enjoy it. On the way back to Debbie's, I was playing my Spotify playlist, which has around 750 songs on it, when The Scientist by Coldplay came on. It was both our favourite Coldplay song, though neither of us were big Coldplay fans. We ended up singing along to it, like two old friends who had known each other forever. By that time, we were so relaxed with each other, so natural with each other. That was now our song. I dropped her off at the apartments and headed home. It ended up being a really good first date. Debbie was exactly the person who had been messaging me for the last few weeks. She didn't need to be upbeat. Upbeat's her middle name. She has such a natural zest for life and is also so down to earth. 4 weeks after meeting Debbie was the first anniversary of Julie's death. As I mentioned before, birthdays, Christmas, anniversaries mean little to me. I tried my best with Julie in life and death, so every day was special. You don't have to reach a significant day to remember or pay tribute. I had loads of messages from people stating that they were thinking of me on the anniversary, but I just saw it as a celebration. I wasn't going to be sad, because that's what people generally do. It was a celebration in my eyes. I was celebrating Julie's life, but I was also celebrating making it through the hardest time in my life. What's the good in being sad? It gets you nowhere. Celebrate the life of a beautiful person who you had the privilege to call mine. I decided to make and deliver food to close family and friends, so once again, they could have a meal on me while celebrating Julie's life. Life's hard enough as it is, without getting all morbid and taking a step backwards because it's somebody's anniversary. Celebrate, not commiserate. It's what Julie would want. As the months went on, Debbie and I got to know each other better. It was still very peculiar being with another woman. I kept thinking, I'll never fully get used to this. Though it felt weird, we got on like a house on fire. We always had something to talk about. We laughed loads and also had very similar views in life. I felt going off tour in Andalusia for 2 weeks alone wasn't the right thing to do. Debbie only had a few days of holiday entitlement left and she wasn't allowed to take any unpaid leave. I felt if we had a future together, then it would be very wrong of me to continue with the tour. We needed to share experiences, not for me to come back and brag about where I'd been and what I'd seen. I decided to cancel the tour and just go to Seville and Cordoba with Debbie. She only had a few days holiday left, but added to the weekend, we ended up with a 5-day trip, which was just enough. We love both cities, with its history, culture, food and sun. It really was a lovely first holiday together. For Debbie, it was a new experience going on a holiday like that, but she absolutely loved it. That was so nice to see, and for me, that was the most memorable part of the holiday. Over the next month, something that I'd noticed from the start of our relationship would slowly grind away at me. It was an obstacle in my mind that obviously wasn't in Debbie's, and it was an obstacle that threatened to end the relationship until divine intervention stepped in. And one of the most blatant spiritual signs was also to happen, but this time, not by Julie.